Oh, I love to. Well, it's just such an honor to be able to speak to you this morning and about a great topic, prayer. I love praying. I don't think I've always loved praying, but I've grown to see the effects of prayer and how powerful it is, and I love it. This may seem like quite a basic message in some ways, but I really feel that God is really stirring up our hearts to pray. And sometimes we need to just go back to the basics. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. And prayer is one of the main things. It's a pillar in the New Testament church life. In Acts 2, verse 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." So it's one of the foundational pillars. And sometimes we can get busy with all sorts of theories and all sorts of ideas, but we need to just stick with sometimes the main thing. And one of those things is prayer. So I'm really going to enjoy this today. Andrew Murray said, "Where there is much prayer, there will be much of the Spirit. And where there is much of the Spirit, there will be ever-increasing prayer." I don't know about you, but I just want more of God's Spirit. I mean, did you feel God's presence here? Do you feel Him with us? There's so much power in the house today. You know, in the prayer meeting, it was amazing. And I know you guys are prayerful. You know, sometimes I come out of the prayer meeting from before church, and I just come out and I go, wow, I love this church. They're a people of prayer, and I want to be with you. I want to pray with you more, and I love it. So this is an encouragement, because I believe God wants us to go even deeper in prayer. There's much more for us, much more, and for us personally. So, sorry, I just want to talk about four main things today. Firstly, staying connected to God in prayer. Secondly, barriers that the enemy sows, barriers to our prayer life. I'd like to talk about some keys to intimacy with Jesus, but I'm just looking at the time. I'm going to interview some friends because we can learn from one another's prayer lives. So we're going to get a little insight into people's prayer lives today, which is great, isn't it? Because we're not always privy to what happens in each other's lives, unless you live with somebody. I see Tindy, she sits on my swing seat in the summer. I see her rocking backwards and forwards, praying every morning. What a blessing. It's so encouraging. Unless you live with someone, you don't really know how they pray, how they connect with God. So the idea is to perhaps open some of that up today so we can learn from one another. So where are you at in your prayer life at the moment? Because it's peaks and troughs sometimes, isn't it? Let's face it, depending on what's going on in our lives. And, you know, I just, like I say, I feel God wanting us, He's calling us to go deeper in prayer. And, you know, maybe you're in a great place and you're hearing God and it's exciting and you're seeing prayers answered. And that's great, but God wants something even richer and something even deeper for you. And I believe He wants us. This is why I felt really strongly that He wants us to partner with Him. Partner with the Holy Spirit is what I keep getting from the Lord. And that He wants to take us into new depths in partnering with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're not feeling all that great in your prayer life, in your personal times with God. Maybe you're stuck and just about mustering a quick prayer for your day to go well and your family to be okay and nothing to go wrong. You know, we go through phases like that. That's all that we can muster in the day. And, you know, sometimes we can just be ticking a box. Okay, I prayed. And that's dead religion. And the Lord does not want that for us. So if we're there, don't be discouraged. God has more for you. And we don't have to stay in that place. You can break through. God's been speaking that all morning, hasn't He, about breaking through. So, okay. So, I'd like to talk about staying connected. He really wants us to actually enjoy our relationship with God. He wants it to be life-giving, full of His Spirit, fun. Not dead, not boring. And you know, sometimes we can lose our way and it does get boring. Let's face it, it can and it shouldn't, but that's when we need to come back to God and staying connected with God is how we maintain life flowing through from him to us. You know, he didn't die. He didn't send his precious son to spill his blood on a cross so that we could be bored. He did it so that we would have life and life abundantly, life to the full, and to know him and to live in a relationship with him that is life-giving, that something comes in and something flows out every day. And that is God's plan for us. So, staying connected. John 15, verse 4, we know this well. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Oh, do we have that? Oh, okay. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And that word abide can mean live. It can mean be at home with. So we make our home with God and we stay connected with God by talking to him all the time. And so I remember when I first started to kind of get into this habit and I would do the washing up. And every time I put those rubber gloves on, I would make it my habit to pray. And I would start just praying in tongues and just praying for whatever I could think of. And it became a really good habit. And we can actually cultivate that in our lives more and more. When we're driving along, you know, this may not be new. It's just an encouragement for you to just keep going. If you're doing that, you know, if you're walking with the Lord and stay connected to him, stay connected and in communion with him. So it says, yeah, so include him in every decision, big and small. Do you know what? The Lord actually cares about those little things. He really does. You're not disturbing him from bigger things. He wants to hear your voice. He loves you. He wants to know what's going on. And when we pray and talk with him, we stay connected. So it says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, if you got that, Kevin. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people or the saints. So we know that we should be praying in the Spirit. May not mean speaking in tongues, it may do, but basically our spirits have to be engaged with God's Holy Spirit. And we do the prayer through the grace of God's Spirit. And it says, on all occasions, and I don't think it's talking about weddings and funerals. I think it means all the time, wherever you are, wherever you happen to be. It says, with all kinds of prayers. So there are so many prayers. We've already heard about from Alex today, the prayer of agreement. I love that one. It's so powerful. You grab somebody and you say, come, just pray with me about this. Let's just agree in the Spirit. When you know it's God's will, you just pray with assurance and faith. And God comes through time and time again. He really does. It's so powerful. I love that kind of prayer. There are all kinds of prayers. Quick requests that shoot up while you're at work or whatever. Quick send up a prayer for somebody when they come into your mind. You just send up a quick prayer. There's prayers of intercession, which is, I'd love to talk about that as a whole topic in itself. Thanksgiving, and that's what we are called to do as believers, is to send up thanksgiving all the time for any little thing that we can find during our day. There's prayers of declaration, where we declare the word of God over our situations and over our lives and over each other. And repentance, prayers of repentance. So all it says, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Okay. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if you're not sure what God's will is, just stick to that one. You can't go far wrong. Another scripture just to talk about that is Philippians 4 verse 6. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." It's one of my favorite verses. I always go back to that one. I love that. Because it's absolutely true. When we present our requests with thanksgiving, mustn't forget that we're to be thankful. Something happens, and then even when we leave the prayer closet, nothing's changed in the natural, but the peace of God, knowing that God has got this, is awesome. You know, all this stuff about mindfulness that you hear about is all like the trendy thing to do, isn't it? But you know, the Christians have had that for years. It's about training your thoughts to be thankful and grateful every moment. And it's nothing to do with secular mindfulness. It's to do with being a worshipper of God. He's seeking those who are worshippers, and being thankful is part of that. Being thankful. So that's the continual prayer, but there's also something else that God wants us to know and understand, and it's time alone with God, and we call it quiet times. But what is a quiet time? Is it biblical? Is it necessary? And where does the idea come from? So it's modeled on Jesus. Jesus often withdrew to be on his own. It mentions it 8 times in the Bible. I've actually been to Gethsemane, which is a garden he used to love to withdraw and pray in. And some of the olive trees are there. And if you know anything about olive trees, they last a long time. So some of them are 1,000 years old. And possibly some of them, because olive trees, when a tree sort of it sends up roots all the way around, new trees. So actually they could be from one of the original olive trees from 2,000 years ago, quite easily, when Jesus was around. So it was incredible, wasn't it? When we went there and we just spent some time sitting in the garden and praying, and you can just see Jerusalem up on the hills, the walls, and talk to the gardener. It's very biblical. Yes. So Gethsemane, it says in Luke verse 5:16, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." He's our example, isn't he? Mark 1 verse 35, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." So getting up while it's still dark at the moment means about 4 o'clock, doesn't it? Which could be quite hard. It is hard getting up in the morning. You know, the winter is the hardest time, I think, to get up and pray. But there is something very powerful about getting up first thing. It's first thing, putting God first in your day. Before you check Facebook, before you do whatever. There's something really powerful about meeting with God every morning. And not in a legalistic way, not because you're trying to tick a box, but because God is calling you into relationship, because he wants you. He wants you to flourish. He wants you to know him. He wants to pour out his spirit upon you. So, quiet times. Morning and night. You see a bit of a pattern of morning and night in the Bible. The Levites, they were called in 1 Chronicles 32, verse 30, it says, they were also to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. They were to do the same in evening. Well, we're called the priesthood of God. We are the priests and kings of God, aren't we? And we are also to stand morning and evening to thank and praise our God. And in the prayer meeting, I don't know who brought that. I think it was Roger, brought that psalm out. I love that psalm. It says, "Every day I will bless you, O God." And that's one of the things sometimes I say every morning. Every day I choose to bless you, O God, and I will praise your name forever. Every day I will bring myself before you, God. And, I think one of the key things to spiritual growth It's not how many times you attend church or what knowledge you understand or, you know, if you know the Bible back to front. But one of the key things is that you walk with God every day, you meet with him, and he builds some maturity in us. It's in season, out of season, when we want to, when we don't want to. That when we have that pattern of meeting with God every day, that he puts backbone into us so that we're ready, that our roots are down deep, that when the storms come, we're already in the pattern of meeting with God and not suddenly struggling, oh my gosh, everything's fallen apart, now I've got to run to him and where do I start? I'm so dry. But we're ready. Our roots are already deep. We've already been drinking every day from God in his word. And so we can stand strong and firm every day, morning and night. Sometimes I do pray in the mornings, and I'm trying to work at the night one, but sometimes I'm just crashed out into bed. It's like, oh, Lord. But, you know, we go through different seasons, don't we, in our lives. I remember when I had a little one, and it's really sometimes hard to get up early before the baby gets up to pray. But I did find that when I did, it was worth it. But also, you just have to find different ways of walking with God, different times to meet with God. You know, I think what I did was when the baby had a nap, then I always had my Bible just out so that I could rest and have a quick look and a read and send up some prayers. You know, it's different seasons, and God's grace abounds to us. You know, but sometimes we can say, oh, well, you know, when the children are at school, I'll have more time to pray. Or when, you know, when I'm retired, I'll have time. But I mean, ask Andrew Stevens, does he have more time to pray? Because there's things that come against us all the time that stop us from praying. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. So where do you go to pray? And how do you do it? And what do you do? Jesus obviously liked a garden, and I like a garden too. I quite like to go for a prayer walk, or I like to sit in the conservatory. But it says in Matthew 6, verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And that's a great scripture, because it tells us that we need to be alone with God, and we spend that time with him, and what we do in that secret place, he rewards us for. It's not unseen by him. In fact, it's very important to him, because we are only what we are before God in that one-on-one. So trust as you go into your room and your Father sees what's done in secret, he will reward you. Keep going, guys. Keep going. Don't give up. We will see fruit. We will see it. So sometimes we struggle, don't we? I don't know. You might find it very easy, but sometimes I get a bit lost and I don't always know what I want to do in those times. I manage to get myself up and out of bed and downstairs and wrapped up in a blanket in the conservatory. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, well, I'm not quite sure what to do. But quite often I will start with worship, and but there's also a prayer that Jesus taught us. You know, his disciples said to him, why don't you teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples? And he said, this is how you pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And I don't believe that Jesus gave the disciples that prayer just to read through like that. I think he was giving us principles. And it's a good place, if you are lost at the moment in your prayer time, to start with that kind of pattern. So it teaches us who we pray to. We pray to our Father who is in heaven. So when we pray, we're praying to who he is. He's our Father, and he's a loving Father, and he's a kind Father, and he's a Father who listens, And he's a father who is bending his ear down to hear the moment we start speaking to him. So that's who we're praying to. Hallowed be your name is the next step, perhaps. It's worshipping and saying, you are holy and you are set apart and you are awesome. And it's beginning with praise and worship. It says, your kingdom come. And I think that comes next, because sometimes we want to barge straight in with all our prayer requests. We're like, there's this and there's this person, and Lord, would you help me with this? But before that, it's your kingdom come. And that gives us the perspective when we are then asking for our requests, that God's kingdom comes first, his kingdom. We want his kingdom, what does it say? Down on earth as it is in heaven. So whatever is happening in heaven, we want here on earth. If they're praising Jesus in heaven, we want them to praise Jesus on the earth. If there's joy in heaven, we want joy on the earth. And then it says, give us our daily bread. We are allowed to present our requests to God. He wants us to. Jesus taught us this is how we pray. And then we ask God to forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And that's such an important one. That's when we need to lay bare those things, unburden ourselves, stuff that's happening, people that have irritated us. And we bring those to the Lord. And God ministers to us. And he puts our hearts right in that place, doesn't he? And it says next, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's such a good prayer as well. Now, God, don't let me go to the left or to the right, but keep me right on track with you. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. And we can finish with worship. So you may have heard that pattern sort of before, but it's always good to go back to something like that if you are getting a bit lost, you don't know where to start. But I love to worship in my prayer time. I find it's a real key. Who else finds that as they worship and begin with worship that their hearts open up and they start hearing God? Give me a little wave. Some people really connect in worship, and I guess I'm just one of those. So I will play the keyboards, or I could put a little song on my phone or something. Another thing that I have to do is that I get really sleepy, so I walk around when I'm praying. Just wear out the car. Walk around. If I feel like, my mind's drifting, and I'm looking at, that mess under the table. I think I need to go. Everything comes against you, doesn't it? Isn't it just as soon as you decide, right, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do this. And then like 1,000 thoughts go into your mind of what you're supposed to be doing that day, or just distractions, you know. So I sometimes keep a little notebook as well. If I've got a lot on my mind, I keep a notebook and just jot down those thoughts. Okay, I've got to do that. I've got to finish that form off for one of the kids at school and whatever. Then it's done. Push it out of the way and meet with the Lord. And quite often I will begin with a psalm, because that is worship, and read a psalm. And there's something called Lectio Divina. Have you heard of that before? It's amazing. It's a way of reading the Bible, where you can read a whole scripture and then you just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about one particular part of it. And as you take that bit, then you use it in your worship and adoration. And probably everybody's doing this already, but they didn't know it was called Lectio Divina. You know, for example, that's not the right bit. If I was reading Psalm 86, I'd read the whole thing, but then something would pop out, like verse 5, for you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. And I would just stay there in that verse for the whole morning and just use it to worship and direct my heart to worship God. Right. Praying in tongues as well is awesome, isn't it? When you don't know quite what to do, start praying in tongues. I think we underuse it, that gift. But it opens up all the other gifts. And so we can change it up. We don't have to do the same things all the time when we meet with God, you know. He wants it fresh. He wants life to flow. Sometimes start in the Word, sometimes start in worship. You know, he wants us to go deeper with him and break through in our personal times with him. And as we, each one of us, breaks through into new things with God, the whole church breaks through. So it's not just up to particular people that are really prayerful or something. No, as we all break through individually with God, then our church breaks through. Okay, so God wants us not only to pray, but to fervently pray. Epaphras said he labored fervently in prayer for the Colossian believers, and the word means contend for the victory, to fight, to wrestle. So I don't know if your prayer times look like that sometimes, fighting, wrestling, contending for victory, but God wants us to do that in our prayer times. Shall I tell you a little story? It's quite funny. When I was about 19, I went on my first mission trip to Zambia. And I was a little bit apprehensive about what Africa was going to be like. But I got there, we were with a team, and we flew into Lusaka, and we arrived there, and we were using a teacher training center, which was empty at the time because it was a holiday time. So it was like, had this compound and everything. So we went to the teacher training center to start the first of our missions. And I forgot my Bible, so I left it back there. So I went back, and on the way back to join the others, I just felt like, oh my goodness, there's something watching me. And I saw these pack of dogs that had previously been chained up, but they used dogs there to guard the place, but they'd been let free to kind of roam. And I started walking quicker. And then I thought, oh no, I remember what my mum told me. When a dog comes towards you, you just stop, and then, you know, you don't run because they'll leg it after you. I don't know if that was right, because basically a whole pack of dogs surrounded me. They rounded me up like they were going to eat me. In fact, one of them did, and it took a great big bite of my backside. And I was absolutely, it's unbelievably petrifying being surrounded by dogs barking at you, and they, like this pack. And I thought, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do, you know. And then I did leg it. I absolutely legged it, and I was in so much pain. I went into the toilet to have a look to see what it was like. And I was just swollen up like this, and I was like, rabies. Oh my gosh, I've been brought all the way out here just to die. You know how your mind goes. You're like, oh, what's going to happen? And I don't know any doctors or whatever. And, you know, it was just so swollen and bruised. And where the kind of like the fang bits, you know, it was torn on my skin, and it was not nice. And I was in that toilet, and I was like, okay, now's the time to pray. And something rose up inside of me, and I thought, hey, I didn't come all the way out here just to be bitten by a dog and then go home because it's really bad or whatever. I'm going to fight, and I'm going to wrestle, and I'm going to say no in the name of Jesus. And so I had this kind of hissy fit in the toilet against the devil. I was like, I'm not having this in the name of Jesus. No, this is going to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to break through. And I don't know what I said, but I just knew the Spirit of God rising up inside of me going, no. And sometimes we have to wrestle, don't we? We have to fight for what we know God has called us to do. Anyway, the long and the short of it is, I went and told the others, and they prayed for me, obviously, and I woke up the next morning, and you wouldn't believe it, but all the swelling had gone down. And it honestly, it was quite miraculous how little, like, it just cleared up. Like, within 2 or 3 days, you wouldn't have even seen anything. It was amazing. It really, really was amazing. And you know, God did something through that, because then I kind of had faith to pray for people. And I prayed for sick babies, and I prayed for anybody I could get my hands on, because I knew that God had broken through in me, and God is going to break through in others. And sometimes, you know, we must wrestle and fight in the spirit for things, because as we break through, other people can break through too. You know, there's things that we've wrestled. There's things that we've wrestled for the church, you know. And I think about, who remembers when Matt Rees came and they had a big, long rope, tug of war. And he was saying, you know, you got to pray for these young people. And he brought a word about prophesying over the dry bones. You know, something that you don't see already, that you prophesy and you prophesy and you pray. And I really took that to heart. And I probably, yeah, I guess about 2 years I've been praying for the youth. And it's like prophesying over the dry bones. You don't see anything, but faith rises in your heart, don't you? You know, there's something coming. You know, I really want to honor Timmy and Tunde for what they started in the youth, because somebody had to start it. But, you know, it's great seeing Jemima and Jack and Daniel and all the others. And it's being built up. It's like a whole army coming together. And the dry bones are coming together and making an army. And it's so exciting. But we had to wrestle in prayer. We had to pray continually and not give up. And not give up. Just keep praying. So God wants us to pray continually. I've got a whole load of scriptures, which I'll just tell you what they are in case you want to. Right, look them up. Luke 21, verse 36. Acts 6, verse 4. Romans 12, 12. Ephesians 1, verse 16. Colossians 1, 3, 9. Thessalonians 3, 10. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11. And 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. We've got to pray continually. God wants us to pray perseveringly. It's Ephesians 6, verse 18. God wants us to pray earnestly. That's James 5:16. It says in the Amplified, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So that's the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. We've got to keep praying until we see something happen. I'm just going to whiz through this. Okay, God wants us to partner with him. And in that place of prayer, we're not just praying our own prayers and what we want, but we're actually surrendering our will. John Stott, he wrote, prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our will upon God or bending his will to ours, but the prescribed way of subordinating our will to his. You know, Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, do you know what? I've just missed a whole load of stuff. Oh, well. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He was talking about his disciples that are falling asleep while they're supposed to be praying. But he could have also been speaking about himself, and he was trying to break through. He was on his knees, wasn't he? Crying out, not my will, but yours be done, God. And in that place of prayer, he was surrendering his will. And out of that's when prayer happens, when we surrender our will to his. Okay. So why is it just so difficult to pray sometimes? So everything comes against us, doesn't it, to stop us praying a lot. The enemy uses all sorts of stuff. Unbelief, because we live in an unbelieving culture. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, without faith it's impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Do you believe that he rewards you when you seek him? In some verses, in some translations, it says he rewards those who diligently seek him. When we diligently seek him, he rewards us. But we have to believe that he exists. That's a 101, isn't it? We also must be completely confident that he is listening and interested. Because if we don't think he's listening to us, why would we bother praying? Are you secure that in that truth? That Steve said last week about Daniel, that the angel said, the moment the word left your mouth, the command was sent. Do you believe that for you? The moment you start to pray, do you know that God is listening? Are you 100% sure of that? That he hears every word that comes from your mouth when you direct it towards him? He does. He stops and he listens. He's not a distant father. He's not a father who hasn't got time for you. He is a God who is near and wanting to hear your voice. He says, your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Okay, 1 John 5:15-16. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So that's not anything according to our will, but according to his will. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests we have asked of him. So we can have confidence. The other thing, number two, the other thing that comes against us, and that's a barrier, is our flesh. So we're made of body and spirit and soul. Our soul is like our mind, our emotions, our will. And it says the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. So your spirit wants to pray. Your spirit has been made new in God. And so as soon as you're born again, your spirit wants to pray to God. But your flesh is weak. And they are against each other. And the only way to overcome is to surrender to Jesus, to his spirit and to his will, isn't it? I'm just going to skip through. The third thing that hinders us is a big one. It's like, how do I describe it? It's like when you've got your phone and you've got an app running on it and it's draining your battery life. And until you clear it, it's just constantly there running in the background. And it's this. It's that we misunderstand God's character and who he is. And every time we come to try and draw close to God, if we haven't got a correct picture of our Father, we can't connect with him. And it keeps us away from him. So here's some common thoughts that constantly block us. And you might not necessarily recognize this in you straight away, but ask the Lord, is there anything in this for me that I need to deal with? Sometimes we think we cannot come because we are unworthy and we think he will reject us because we're not good enough. Sometimes we think that God is far off and uninterested. Why would he bother with me? Why would he want to know the small things about my life? And sometimes we think he's angry with us and doesn't approve of us. And we have a picture of God that is not true and not accurate, but it's running in the background and we don't know it. And unless we ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us about those things, we never really break through. You know, we want to have that amazing relationship with God, but we never break through because if we are afraid that God will reject us, or if we think that he's not interested in hearing us or being with us, then we will never break through. Do you see what I'm saying? So God does want to break through. He wants nothing to get in the way of us experiencing his presence. Okay. I'm just going to skip through a couple of things there. I think, can we just pray for a minute? Yeah. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just come and speak to us now. God, if there are things that are blocking our relationship with you, God, we don't want them. And if there's thoughts that we have about you that are not right, Lord, I pray that you would reveal them to us by your Holy Spirit. We invite you, Holy Spirit. We want to draw close to you. We want to know you more, God. And we want you to lead us on a journey with you, in intimacy with you, God. So, Lord, I pray that, Father, each one of us, Lord, we would know how to break through, Lord, in you and what you are saying to us. We want to surrender our wills to yours, Lord. Lord, take us on a fresh journey with you into a secret place. Okay. One of the keys to intimacy is in this verse. He desires truth in the inward parts. And you can only get close to somebody when you're truthful, right? Have you ever been in a place where you've been in a mess and you've needed to reach out and ask somebody to help you, and somehow you've been so vulnerable and so truthful with that person, your relationship just goes from really deep, you know, from nothing to really deep, because you've opened up your heart and you've been truthful. And God wants that for us, you know, when we come with truth in our hearts and we say, hey, God, I'm really not there yet. I'm really struggling with this. Or, you know, when we open up and when we bring ourselves humbly. Oh, is that better? That's all right. I just pressed the button. When we humble ourselves. Thank you. Yeah. Psalm 139 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Andrew, could you just get... Andrew, would you mind popping out and getting Liz? Oh, no, she's here. She's here. Fine. Okay. Lead me in the way everlasting. You know, that's such a great prayer to pray. Lord, is there anything in me, in my life, that you find offensive? Is there any attitude that you don't like in me? Lead me in the way everlasting. I love that prayer. It's a bit vulnerable, isn't it? But I think God loves us when we pray that prayer too. Can I just ask our guys quickly to come up? So Liz and Leslie Ann, Terry, and who else am I after? That's it. Do you want to have a seat? I'm just going to finish by interviewing these lovely ones. Karen? do you want to have a seat? It's all right, just relax. I know it's really scary being up here, isn't it? But can we just give them a clap? I've just asked these lovely friends just to share some insights about their relationship, their walk with God, over how they've overcome things in their prayer life, in their devotional life. I'll start with Leslie first, because you love prayer, and God has been speaking to you about something about prayer. So,
just very quickly, there's one thing that God's just really put on my heart to share with you this morning, and that he's been really putting a longing in my heart that every morning I might wake up with a song in my heart, and that that song, it might be an actual song or it might just be a sense of thankfulness for the day. But if I do that, I just find that I'm worshipping God. I'm kind of getting myself, without an awful lot of thought first thing in the morning, but I'm getting myself in the right place to kind of just be, lay the day before him. And that he puts a little nugget in my heart of joy and a little nugget of peace, which I can then carry out into the day. And that just changes things. And it's far more likely that if I started in that way, that I'm likely to find the space to pray, to find, you know, him in different situations. And yeah, that's been a real help to me.
Liz, can you tell me about your breakthrough in prayer?
God has had me on quite a journey with prayer. It started about 3 years ago, and I was actually sat complaining because things were difficult. I seemed in a hopeless position at the time, and I was saying to God, why do some people just seem to know your word and some people just hear from you? And God very gently said to me, because they read their Bible and they listen. So I thought, oh, I should start doing that then. So the first scripture God gave to me was that physical training is good, but training in godliness is much better. And actually, if I want to know God's word and I want to meet with him in prayer, I had to train myself to do it. So I began to set aside a time for God in the morning where I would meet with him, whether I felt like it or not. It just broke through in amazing ways that I just don't have time to tell you how good it's been. But he has broken through situations that seemed hopeless. He has, I have become thoroughly dependent on that time with him, and it's flown from the morning through to my day, but I can't actually, don't know how I would get to the end of the day if I didn't begin it in prayer and carry that through my day.
Karen, what are the keys that have helped you move forward in praying?
Keys. I'm trying to think now, I made notes. Perseverance. You know, I think sometimes, like what Steve shared last week about Daniel, you know, God heard from the first, and it's trusting that, it's having faith in that. And being willing to keep pressing in. It's not always easy. It's not always fun even. I'd like it to be fun every time I pray, but it's not. I do find reading the word helps. Like you said, focusing even on one part of it can help with your praying. But I would like to encourage, you know, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and how God can use us, and he wants to use us, that actually went through a very trying few years with health stuff, lots of operations, and in one of them my vocal cords got damaged and I needed 8 months of speech therapy before I could even make a speech noise properly. And I remember in that season saying to God, you know, you guys already know I'm already deaf. Now I can't even speak. What use am I to anyone? And I really felt God say, just like he does, those gentle rebukes, pray. You can pray. If you don't feel you've got a gift or you can do anything else, you can pray. You can encourage other people with that. If you can't speak, you can write it down. But prayer is a gift to us. It's a weapon of warfare, but it's a gift to us. And I was trying to find, I think actually, as I was making some notes to kind of focus my own thoughts to share with you, and I thought, you know, if we're not praying, we're not able to bring a testimony to share of God's goodness, because our prayers, our answers to prayer, are a testimony that our God is a living God, that he's living, he's active, he loves us, and he wants to break through in our lives, and he wants to receive the glory that's due to him by what we share for his goodness that we receive from him in prayer.
Terry, you've been a Christian a long time. What has your personal prayer life been over that time?
Well, it's been varied, and sometimes it's been down, and sometimes it's been up. And in the context of Mary and myself, we have set up a room. It says, go into your room. Sometimes if we go back into the authorized version, we call it, what is it? A closet. Everybody remember that? The word closet? Well, anyway, we do that. We have set up a prayer time, prayer space. We've done that for many years. We did that prior to going to South Africa, and we set up a prayer room. We prayed for a year, roughly. Wasn't it about a year? 3 years we did it in preparation for going, and we had 9 years of blessing that followed that. And so we can praise God for all of that. And I guess we learn so much, and we have learned so much. One thing that we have learned is that God works slowly in preparation. It takes some time to prepare us. But it only is so gracious that he works suddenly in achievement. But it's the preparation that costs. And we've got to be prepared to pay that price, because he prepares us for what is ahead. And we've got to accept that in order to see the blessing, how good God is. And yes, he does. He works slowly in preparation and suddenly in achievement. And he is faithful. He is absolutely faithful to all his promises. They're absolutely true, and that's what we found. And so we just say, to God be the glory, great things he has done in our lives, and we praise him for that.